We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in as we get closer day by day to Resurrection Sunday. Tomorrow being Good Friday. And we've been talking this week, started off on Monday, dealing with why we have an all-night prayer meeting scheduled tomorrow night, beginning at 10 p.m., 10 p.m. going until 6 a.m. in the morning, and that goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 12. By the way, if you miss any of these broadcasts, you can find them archived on WMIE's website. You can look that up on the internet. I believe it's WMIEFM.com, and you can look in the archived section, on-air broadcasts, and you can go back and catch any of these. And so on Monday, we were talking about Exodus chapter 12 and verse 42 specifically, where why we have our Night of Honor prayer meeting coming up this week, and you're invited to join us. Coming up just in a couple of days is Resurrection Sunday, and we've been telling you about our special activities. And I pray that, like we talked about, I believe it was on Tuesday's broadcast, that you've already set your course. You already know you're going to be in the house of God on Easter Sunday. You're going to be worshiping the King, and you're going to be a blessing to those around you. And so I know that God has a journey for you, and you need to be steadfast and resolute in seeking that journey. And like I said on Tuesday's broadcast, if you'd like a copy of the little cards that we have, if you'd like to partner with us in the ministry, if you'd like just to have those little, they're little business card size things about resolving to pray and being steadfast in prayer and being holy in your communications, using your mouth to bless and not curse and stuff like that. You can contact us with the contact information at the end of the broadcast. We do want to thank our partners who make this radio broadcast available. Thanks to Merit Assembly of God, and just what a wonderful congregation. Many of you have probably not visited our church, but I'm telling you, we have some of the most wonderful people that I've ever had the privilege of being associated with. They love Jesus, and they're just awesome. It's an awesome privilege to be their pastor. So Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we have special activities for the kids, special sermon that I'm going to be presenting during that time. And then following that, there will be and more special activities for the kids with each getting a gospel presentation. Following that is a picnic lunch, sandwiches, and potato salad, baked beans, coleslaw, stuffed eggs, all of that good stuff. And so if you do not have a home church, this is your personal invitation to come and join us this Resurrection Sunday, and we will be glad to get to know you. You can put a face with a name, or a face with a voice that you hear on the radio broadcast. There are a couple of other announcements we've been bringing to you this week, and that is the 50th anniversary of the Easter Surf Fest that is going on in Cocoa Beach, April 18th through the 20th. They have several events, some of them that you might find interesting are the Easter Egg Hunt and the Friday Night movie, and then you can check out more information by going to Easter Surf Fest, two F's in that, EasterSurfFest.com, and so you can look up that information there. And so pray that there are opportunities for people to give their heart to the Lord during this coming weekend's activities. The other announcement that we have been sharing is Pastor Titus Green and the congregation at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island have opened up their sanctuary once again on Thursday night, May the 1st, for the National Day of Prayer, where pastors and churches from all across the county come together and pray in unity for God to move in a sovereign manner and move in America once again. So put that on your calendar and plan on coming and joining us for another opportunity. The Word of God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that God will hear from heaven. And so we desperately want God moving in our community. And so we encourage you to join us for that event. This week we've been talking, I have a long list of things that we could be addressing during this week of broadcasts. And I've been trying to deal with ones that we could deal with this week. And on Monday we're going to be talking about the resurrection. Today on this broadcast, I want to take you into the room for the Last Supper. I want to take you there because fellowship, koinonia, covenant, is such a vital part. It's essential to understanding what this Passion Week is all about. By the way, if you look up a dictionary definition of passion, you will see that there is an element of suffering by the very definition of what the word passion means. We've kind of taken the suffering out of it and put in, you know, some sort of carnal sort of emotionalism in it instead of a God, you know, God ruling over our emotions. But passion actually involves an element of suffering. And so Jesus, as he was preparing to go to the cross, before he ever went to Gethsemane, he said, you need to go and you need to prepare this room. And so I want to take you to Matthew chapter 26. On tomorrow's broadcast, we will be dealing with the crucifixion. We'll be dealing with four elements. I have a hard time getting through one, so if you'll pray for me today, I've got four different topics to go through on tomorrow's broadcast, so I'll really need to be concise in my words to get to that. But in Matthew, the 26th chapter, it says this in verse 26. So it's Matthew, 26th chapter, 26th verse. And it said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And so Jesus describes to the disciples there, he said, before I embark on this last leg of my journey, he said, I want to have fellowship with you, and I want you to understand that all of this ministry that we've been doing, all of this teaching that I've been pouring into you, all of the faith that I've been trying to build up in you, he said, all of that has been leading to this point, because what I'm doing tonight is I'm establishing a new covenant with you. You see, there actually the Bible is divided up into two sections, 39 books in the first section and 27 in the second section, and for a total of 66 books. And it's, in reality, it is old covenant and new covenant. And the scripture said that Jesus came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. The reason that he came to fulfill those things is because you and I, on our own, could not measure up to all of the stipulations in the original covenant. And so Jesus came and established a new covenant, a covenant of grace. The fact that man could not live up to the old covenant, that was not a new revelation. The children of Israel came to realize that by the time that Joshua was nearing the end of his life. If you look in Joshua chapter 24, he tells the people after they had entered into the promised land, after they had engaged in a number of military victories, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." But whether it's the idols on the other side or whether it's the Lord God, you've got to decide. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And the people said, "We will serve the Lord." And if you can look at it, it's in Joshua, the 24th chapter, and you can see Joshua tells them, he said, "You can't do it. You can't do it." And I want to tell you right now that on your own, you cannot kick that addiction. On your own, you cannot fulfill the realities or the fulfillment, the requirements, the prerequisites to live a holy and sinless life. You and I, we can't do it in our own strength. Without God, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so Jesus, being God the Son, came to fulfill everything that the law required because we were incapable of doing it on our own. Thank God that we have such a wonderful Savior. One of my favorite titles for him is he's the lover of my soul. He loves me. He comes and he does what I am incapable of doing. And then in the night of this Last Supper, he proposes to them this new covenant. And he said, "The sacrifice of this new covenant is my body and my blood." And I want to tell you, there are tremendous promises. There's tremendous realities in that. And he says, "My blood is... this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Not just the covering over of them, but the wiping them out. He cleanses them. He takes them away. He forgives them. He blots them out so that they can be remembered or retrieved no more. What a wonderful thought that Jesus shed his blood, not just for me. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so when Jesus shed his blood, and what he was proposing to the disciples here in this new covenant, which we celebrate with communion, and the word there is koinonia in the Greek. It means a fellowship, you know, that we come together and we commune one with one. With another. And Jesus said, the thing that I want to do more than anything else before I leave this life is I want to spend time with my disciples. If you remember in our study a few months ago when we were talking about being, that we mentioned that the disciples were first called to be with Jesus, and here we are at the very end, and Jesus tells them, I want to spend this time with you. I want to explain this covenant to you. It is about the forgiveness of sins. It is about the annihilation of sin in your life. Not to just equip us so that we can sin without consequence, but instead he wants to come and change our heart so that we no longer have a desire to sin. Instead, we have a desire to use our bodies as instruments of righteousness. What will you use the life that God has given you? For what purpose will you use that? The second part of the covenant, whenever there was a covenant, there were things that were broken. There, in Old Testament, there were creatures that were split in half. And Jesus said to them, right before the part about the the blood, he said, "This is my body. Take it and eat it. This is for you. This body is broken for you." By his stripes, you and I were healed. And so when we are there tomorrow and we're seeing about the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through, understand that his body was broken as a sign of covenant between you and I. Let me say this about the healing that Jesus paid the price for. Healing is ours already through Jesus Christ. Well, I am not praying for something, hoping that it will come. I realize that sickness and disease is an attack of the enemy, that the enemy has come to try and steal something God has already provided for me. And so when Jesus established covenant, I am believing for what he has already provided, that it is theft-proof, that it is incapable of being stolen by the enemy. And so I want to encourage you during this time of year to pray and believe that the Lord God is the Lord your healer and that healing will come. I also want to take you to John the 13th chapter, because there was a third essential element that took place in that upper room that day. It's absolutely vitally important. There is an indicator here that is a tremendous measuring rod for us in where our communion with God is. In John the 13th chapter, verse number 1, and I'm going to read this out of the NIV here. I've got two Bibles scattered here, and one I had turned in one place and one to the other. In John the 13th chapter, in the first verse, it says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father." We talked about that earlier this week and how he had set his sights on going to Jerusalem. The next sentence says this, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.' Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, 'Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.' Jesus answered, 'A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you.' For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not everyone was clean.' When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to that place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.'" And here, this was the same night, the same place, and Jesus demonstrated to the disciples what it really means to walk in this kingdom of God, this thing that we call the kingdom of God. And that is this: you come to serve. You come as a servant. One of Jesus' titles is the suffering servant. He came to serve. And if you and I, if we are walking in fellowship with the King, and we come out of that time of fellowship arrogant and boastful and proud, we have missed everything. We are still where the disciples were, arguing about which one is going to be greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus came and he solved that that argument once and for all, and he did it in John chapter 13 when he took a towel and began to serve. You and I will never come to that place until we realize that God is the one who is in control of our timing. He's the one in control of our mission. He is the one in control of every aspect of our life. And it said in the first verse that there was something else that was coming, that was a part of Jesus that enabled him to serve. It says he knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. You and I, if you're a Christian, you have a testimony. You have you know where God has brought you from. If you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you know where your future is. You do not have to be afraid of that last heartbeat. You do not have to be afraid of that last breath. You know that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You know that when Jesus comes, that you are going to be with him, just the same as he said to that thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. You know where he's brought you from, and you know where you are going. You are returning to the Father. And it says, having loved his own who were in the world. Being a servant is the way that we express our love. Society tells us that you express your love in other manners, and for the most part, they have redefined lust as the definition of love. But in the kingdom of God, you and I are servants, and we express our love for God and for other people by serving them. And so I want to encourage you, as you are going about your week here in the next couple of days, look for opportunities to be a blessing. If you're going through the drive-thru, a lot of times there's a car right behind you and they've already placed their order before you get to the next place. If the Spirit of God moves upon your heart, offer to pay for their order. Offer to just go ahead and bless them. There have been people who've done things like this, and people drove around town until they stopped and they said, "Why did you do that?" And come to find out that it was a miraculous moment and God was doing something remarkable for them. Look for an opportunity to serve. It said, look in verse number 2, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. You need to realize that your ego is not tied up in what you have done or what you've accomplished. But know this, that the Father has put all things. He's the one who establishes authority. He's the one who establishes power. And so because Jesus knew where he stood, he knew that knew what his identity in God was. He was God. He is God. You and I, we understand that our identity is that we are children of God, that we have come from God. We know what our past testimony is. We know what our future is. And so as a result, it said that Jesus began to take a towel. He girded himself with a towel, and he began to wash and dry their feet. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I live in a day and time where we wear shoes and socks. It's not necessary for us to go around and constantly be washing people's feet. Now, if you go down to the Easter Surf Festival this weekend and you go down on the beach, you're going to see that there's people down there, sand. I mean, I whenever I come back from the beach, I find sand everywhere places it shouldn't. I don't even know how it got there. They have foot washing little shower heads there that are designed just to get the sand off of your feet. But for the most part, we don't wash one another's feet very much. But that doesn't mean that there are still not opportunities for service. You have an opportunity to serve every day. Whether it's that person, the other day I was going, I think I was coming out of a post office, and there was a lady trying to carry this big large box in, and she couldn't hold the door open and carry the package in myself. And I was the second one there. There was a lady holding the door for her, and I was positioned in the wrong spot. But the lady really needed somebody to help. When you go to the post office, you look, and there's almost always going to be somebody needing you to hold the door for them. When you go to the grocery store, somebody may be there that needs you to help reach something off of the top shelf. Just adopt the mind of a servant. What would our churches look like if instead of being filled with a consumerism mindset where we are going to this church because of what it's going to do for me, by going to this church, it's going to be better business opportunities. By going to this church, they have better music. What if when we went to church, we had the mindset that Jesus was trying to describe to the disciples, the mindset of covenant, and that is this: I'm here as a servant. What can I do? How can I serve you today? That's what this radio broadcast is. It's here designed to serve you, to bring you a word. Not because there are not other preachers out there. There are people who are more scholarly in the word than I am. There are people who are better preachers than I am. I'm here just to serve to fill my niche in the body of Christ, and that is to bring a word of encouragement. And I'll tell you this, Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you must be a servant of all. If you really want to experience fulfillment in your life, look at what Jesus did with the disciples in the Last Supper and in the communion that he has establishing the covenant, and that is this. He said, you are going to find your greatest fulfillment in life in the kingdom when you adopt the mindset of a servant. If Jesus could serve, so can we. Real quickly, I'm running out of time, but there was a pastor one time, and he had a guest speaker. When the speaker showed up, there was a man who greeted him in the parking lot, offered to park his car or met him when he parked his car, had an umbrella, walked him all the way there. And when the speaker walked up, he said, I want you to know that is the best greeter I have ever encountered in any of my travels. He said, do you know what that man's day job is? And he said, no. And he said, he's actually one of the best surgeons in the country. But he's got the mindset of a servant. Adopt what Jesus did. Be great in the kingdom. Be a servant this resurrection season. Father, may we, like you, be servants to those around us. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh. God bless.
Now I'm going to take the last 1.5 minutes of this program and thank you to Pastor Bob and the good people there at Merit Assemblies of God. Let me slow down a minute. We are up to $28,360 now on our spring fundraiser. Hey, I'm excited now. Our total is down to our remaining balance now is down to $1,640. That's all we need, $1,640, and we are done. 632-1000 is the phone number. If this is your favorite program, now I know Refresh has a lot of people out there who love this program. If that's you, friends, we need your help. We need your partnership so that we can continue to bring to everyone here in the Space Coast this great program heard every Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 9 and from 5 to 5:30 in the afternoon. We seek your partnership. We're almost done. We're at $28,360. We're going to Adrian Rogers here in 45 seconds. I just want to get our phone numbers out and let everyone know how close we are now to wrapping up our fundraiser. $1,640. 632-1000 is our phone number. And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.